Thank you, April. Thank you so much, yeah. So good to be together in God's house today. So good that we're all gathered together at Icon Church on this Sunday morning. We do want to give you a huge welcome, especially if it's your first time. So come on, let's welcome everybody here to Icon. Why don't you grab your seats? I love it that April prayed for us this morning, because I really believe that God, whenever somebody gets up to share a word, I really believe it's a moment where God can change somebody's life, where somebody's, whatever path they're on, God can just come and change it. God can come and redirect them. God can come and heal them, restore them, save them. And today is no different. I believe I've got a word for us today that I just want to hopefully speak into your life today, and for God, the Holy Spirit, to take my words and just bring them alive in some way that will just drop that word that will just change something in your life today. The title of my message is one word. It's this word, restore. Restore. And the reason I've wanted to use this word is because I believe it's a declaration over you today, that there's a prophetic declaration that God wants to come and restore something in your life today. Maybe something that you've lost, maybe something that's broken, maybe something that needs healing. Maybe you just need to return back to God today. I really believe that word restore is a prophetic word for you, for us today. You know, some of my favorite stories in the Bible are stories of restoration. In fact, you know, the overarching story of the Bible is how God seeks to restore his relationship with his people, you know, which results in this amazing plan of salvation through Jesus. You know, Jesus came to save the lost. Jesus came to restore us back to God. He's still doing it today. I love the fact that Jesus was a carpenter. You know, Jesus had a trade. He was a carpenter. And being a carpenter, he would have created new things, but he also would have repaired and restored things. Do you believe that also for our lives today, that God makes things new, but there's also a time where he restores and he renews? And in God's restoration plan, things, I love this, things don't just simply go back to how they were, but God loves to improve things, doesn't he? He loves to make things better. He loves to go beyond what we could imagine. And I'm going to put immeasurably more in brackets when we say that word, imagine. God's restoration work, I believe, is breathtaking. And my prayer for you today is that you would experience restoration, renewal, healing in some powerful, incredible way, because God is in the restoration business, and I'm so glad of that. And I just want you to think about that word restoration for a moment. Think about that word restoration and just think about certain TV shows that you might watch when it comes to restoration. It's a popular genre, I think, at the moment. Maybe you watch a TV program called Money for Nothing, which is all about not just restoring things, it's about upscaling. It's making something that's ready to be thrown away, not only restoring it, but it's making it better as well. And I love that, that we don't throw things out, but God wants to restore something to make it beautiful again. You know, the truth is this, we throw things away far too quickly. I don't know if you know that. I'm as guilty of that as you. Maybe we get rid of things instead of going and getting the things fixed and repaired. But you know, the truth is God doesn't throw us on the rubbish heap when we need restoring, when we need repairing, when we need fixing. Another popular TV show, and I have to confess, I do like this one. I don't watch every episode, but I will go and watch it for an hour. Good time to chill out. And it's the TV show called The Repair Shop. Don't know if you've seen it. I enjoy it. If you've never seen it, go and watch it. You'll enjoy it. I'm sure you will. Well, for the uninitiated, I suppose, which might be half of you or most of you, you know, people do bring into the repair shop old things that have decayed or been beat up. You know, it might be an old chair, might be an old toy, a suitcase, an old clock, whatever you can imagine. They bring that in. They bring it to a team of experts that lovingly bring it back to life. And, you know, that then at the end, that restored object is put under a cloth. When the owner comes back to collect it, it's revealed in all its glory. And as you saw on the video, often with joy and sometimes tears as well. And I must confess, sometimes I do shed a tear as well, but there you go. That's just me. But you know, beyond the items themselves, it's the human stories behind the objects that makes it more interesting to watch. Every item has a backstory that makes it come alive. taking them back into the history of families and events that gives the show its heart. And the things might not look pretty or they might not be worth a lot, but it's the emotional connection that money cannot buy with that object. And it does get emotional. But the thing I really love about the repair shop is the craftsmen and women themselves. The patience that they have in restoring something back. You know, they must spend hours, days, weeks, months even. We don't always know how long it takes them, but they hold every treasure that they see in their heart. You know, there's no judgment. Nothing is too difficult. No story is too demanding to embrace, and no problem is too big to solve. Their commitment to bring new life to the old and broken is incredible. Now, that sounds familiar to me to a story that I love, which is the gospel story. It's the Christian story. And perhaps it's the most powerful thing about the program is that it's designed to entertain, but it gives us a picture of what the gospel story shows to us. You know, our story is a broken story. You know, we were damaged long ago. We thought that we could do life without God, our Creator. And since that point, we've struggled to enjoy the new life that is so freely offered to us back in the beginning, that was created for us to enjoy. God gave us a life to enjoy. He gave Adam and Eve an incredible life to enjoy, but we were broken. We needed a Savior. We needed to be brought back to God again. And God knew that we would be broken. He sent a skilled craftsman to be our healer, to be our restorer, to bring new life to which what was broken. And we were needed a Savior. And you know, the gospel stories go over that narrative of Jesus being fully human and yet fully God. An incredible story. And we've talked about it. Nathan shared about it this morning. But he went to the cross. He gave his life for us. We've remembered that again today. But you know, he rose again. You know, he's alive today. And he's still alive in people. And he does that so that we might know forgiveness in our lives, forgiveness from our sin and selfishness, so that we can enjoy the life that was designed for us to live and live that life to the full. As Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, he said this, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." That's the life that Jesus has for us. That's the life that he is wanting to restore back to his people. And Jesus, that master craftsman, just bears all the hallmarks and more of those craftsmen that we see in the repair shop, because he is always patient. Jesus is always patient and compassionate. He's skilled in every way. He's slow and delicate in the transformation of our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, healing and restoring that was lost, so that we can become who we were created to be. What needs restoring in you today? What restoration do you need in your life today? We all need to be restored in some way, I'm sure. I want to read a couple of Psalms to you that hopefully enhance this idea, this theme of restoration, that God restores. The first one is one of my favorite psalms. It's Psalm 126. Let me read this psalm to you. It says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them.' The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying the sheaves or their harvest with them." This psalm is a song that looks back to when the captives, God's people, returned to Jerusalem after being in exile in Babylon. They had suffered much, and now they suddenly found themselves back in Jerusalem. Just like that, God had delivered them. And we often need to read a psalm like this as a reminder how God can take us from sorrow to joy. That God can turn your tears into laughter. I believe that's a word for somebody today. That God is going to turn your tears to laughter. You know, we all go through times, and sometimes when we're in the middle of sorrow, it feels like it will never end. You know, when we wake up each morning in tears, Some of you might be feeling like that right now, or you go to bed at evening in tears. It's difficult to see a way forward. It feels like we've lost hope. You know, we can begin to wonder, is this all that God has for me? Will I find happiness or joy again? When we are going through a time of sorrow, that Psalm 126 is good medicine for the soul because it carries a powerful message of hope. It tells us that times of trouble and sorrow do not last. I really believe that. Times of trouble and sorrow do not last. That's a word for us today. Whatever you may be facing, it will not last. It tells us that God will turn our sorrow to joy and our tears to laughter. If you're going through a difficult time right now, I trust that this psalm may speak to you this morning. Let me tell you right now, whatever you're going through, it will get better. God will turn your tears to joy. You need to hear that today. God will turn it around. God will turn your tears to joy. See, this psalm has two main thoughts for us. The first encourages us to be thankful of how God helped us in the past. And we can all be thankful about that. God helped us in the past. God saved us. Maybe God healed us. Maybe God did something that we can be thankful to God for. But the second thing about this psalm, it encourages us to trust that God will do it again. God will do it again. He will restore and renew us. And look at the two ways that God does this. I love this in these verses. The first image is that of a quick, decisive work of God. He restores, as it says in verse 4, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. This is a great picture. The Negev was an arid desert with dry riverbeds. And in the spring, thunderstorms would create a sudden rush of water. We won't mention the floods last week, but you can imagine a sudden rush of water which would fill the riverbeds, suddenly receiving that powerful, life-giving rush of water. When these streams came rushing into the desert, it was dramatic. It was an immediate source of joy and relief. There's life and things start to grow again. Some of us are going to experience that kind of restoration, like streams in the Negev, where it's a suddenly from God, where he comes and restores what was lost. He's going to bring that back into your life. My prayer for us today is to receive that restoration like a fast flowing stream. But then you get this second image, which is not always as easy, but it's the image of a sower who sows seeds, even in the midst of tears and disappointment. They're sowing seeds. And maybe you feel like that your breakthrough, your miracle's not come, but you're patiently been sowing seeds. But you know, gradually over time, the harvest does come. It says in verse 6, we return with songs of joy, carrying our sheaves, our harvest grain, our harvest with us. This is a restoration, I think, of hope that comes after sometimes we're sowing for months or it seems like years. We're waiting for that harvest. Maybe we've been praying for something. Maybe, you know, people have been standing with us, praying for us, and we're waiting for that breakthrough. And yes, sometimes God restores to us in a dramatic, immediate way. And my prayer is you will experience some of that today. But other times God's work unfolds slowly over time. And only in looking back can we fully see that steady, patient work of God in our lives. Let me ask a question. What have we sown? What are we sowing today to receive that harvest? Maybe there is something that we need to start to sow again, to pick up again. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's serving. You know, sometimes just serving God in some way, I think is sowing seeds. Maybe sometimes when you are believing for a specific miracle, maybe you can be that answer to that prayer for somebody else in what you sow into their life. You know, maybe you pray for them in a certain way because you're wanting that miracle yourself. But what is it that we can sow today? Are there things that we need to sow to receive that harvest? Because I really believe there is a promise of restoration. There is a promise of restoration for you. So my prayer is restore us. Restore our fortunes. And I believe the answer is in a second psalm. It's in Psalm 23, a well-known psalm, but I'm going to read it to you. It says this, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is our restorer. What does that look like for us today? He wants to restore us back to our original purpose sometimes, to our original design, that God imprint, that God image that we talk about that's in our lives, that's in here. The struggle that we have in being true to that, I believe God wants to restore some of that for us today. I'm amazed that the God of the universe cares for your soul, for my soul, so much that he wants to restore it. He keeps bringing me back to that verse in Psalm 23, that he restores my soul. He restores your soul. What does those four words mean to you? Do we think of the still waters in Psalm 23 or how the Lord makes us to lie down and rest? Or do we think of the bigger picture, perhaps the restoration in the gospel story where miracles happen? They restore what should be, bringing justice and wholeness and life. He restores my soul. You know, we could spend a long time discovering what those words mean to us, but here are a few thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. Five things from this psalm that speak the word restore over our lives. The first one is this: restore or replenish, replenish. Psalm 23 verse 1 again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other versions it says, I have all that I need, I lack nothing. I love that thought. You know, when my kids were all living at home, they're all gone now, hallelujah. Is one of them here? Oh, he's there. Maybe you've experienced this, I don't know, but they turned the fridge into a black hole. Anyone else experienced that? You know, how did those kitchen cupboards empty so fast when they were living at home? We don't get that now. I had a secret shelf for Dad's biscuits. I don't know if anybody else has secret shelves, but I've got a secret shelf. But they would find that eventually, and yeah, you know what happened. But you know, things in life can empty our cupboards, literally, physically, but also spiritually and emotionally, can't they? They can empty. We need restoration. We need replenishment. God promises to fill us completely with joy and peace when we put our trust in him, to replenish us until we, what's that word, overflow. I love that image that God wants to come and fill us. And you know, in Jesus, we have all that we need. In Jesus, we have that fullness. We can have that fullness in our life in Jesus so that our lives, our cups really will overflow. Romans 15 verse 13, it says this, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't just want hope, we want that overflow of hope that changes our lives, that impacts our lives and impacts others as well, because we're full of hope. My prayer is that God would come and fill you today with that overflow, and that your life might be restored and replenished. The second one is this: to restore, to return. You know where we're going with this, don't you? They all begin with R-E, so I'm just... to return. Verse 1 again, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, like a shepherd would retrieve a lost sheep and return it to the fold, Jesus, our shepherd, restores or returns the lost back to God. I love that image of a shepherd and, you know, going out for that lost sheep and bringing it back, returning back. You know, Jesus said this in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You know, I looked and discovered the Hebrew word for restore has the same root as the word for return, would you believe? Which is the same word return in Psalm 126 that we read about returning the captives back. And it speaks of God returning our souls or our lives back to himself. And that's what God wants to do through Jesus, to return us back. You know, where we've wandered, where we've gone astray, Jesus, the shepherd, brings us back onto that path that Paul talked about last week. But Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray or strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Jesus is the one that brings us back, returns us back to where we should be, to the path that we should be walking. If you feel far away or lost today, let Jesus lift you up. Let him carry you back to the fold. Like the parable of the lost sheep, which I'll just read to you, is this great image of a shepherd returning the one back to the fold. It says in chapter 15, verse 3, it says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven when one sinner who repents or returns than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I love that image. You know that there is praising, there's rejoicing in heaven when the one is restored or returns back to God. And that's what Jesus came to do for us, to restore us, to return us back to God. The third thing for restore is this, restore or repair. Repair. Verse 3, it says in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I mentioned at the beginning that, you know, Jesus by trade was a carpenter who created new things, but he would also have repaired and restored things. You know, Jesus, I love it that he still does that. He still restores, he mends, he heals the brokenhearted. He repairs damaged lives. Maybe you've got a story about how Jesus restored you, repaired you, healed you. I believe he wants to do it again today with some of you this morning. Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Jesus wants to come and heal the brokenhearted today to bind up your wounds. He doesn't do a bodge job like I sometimes do with gaffer tape and cover-ups. He doesn't give up halfway through too, that we can humanly can do sometimes. But he's committed to restoring you. He's committed to healing you. He's committed to bringing you back, repairing your life. He came to seek and to save what was lost, to restore us to his likeness, to his image. And I believe he will continue that work in us until the job is done. That's the gospel. Jesus wants to restore you, to repair you. The fourth word is this, restore or to reinstate. To reinstate. Verse 5. It says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Do you remember that day when we could eat together again after that thing that we won't mention? You remember that? When we could finally get together and eat together again. It was a restoration of how things should be. And that's what God is doing all the time. He's putting things back how they should be. He's reinstating stuff that should be there. And God's restoration, I love it that it ends at the table, at a feast with friends and family. You know, that's how Psalm 23 ends, but it's how the story of the prodigal son ends. They have a feast, they have a party. And you know, that's how the Bible ends as well. There is going to be great celebration one day when we're all returned back to God for eternity in heaven. And that's the reinstatement that God is doing. He is bringing us back into that relationship with God that we can celebrate with him because we were once lost, but now we're back. Sometimes we can give into the lie that we're not invited, but Psalm 23 tells us that he's prepared a table for us. He's prepared a table for you. You are invited. You're invited into eternity. You're invited into heaven today. God has a place just for you at the table. And he's prepared it for you. Can you just begin to envisage that table that he has prepared? You know, restoration means joining that party, and God wants to restore that into your life today. And finally, the final word for restore, and the band can come back, is this word, rewrite. To rewrite. I love how it ends, verse 26. It says this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, this psalm was written by a man, David, who was king of Israel, who at one moment in his life, he looked like he had blown it. He was far from God. He was an adulterer, a murderer. The ending to his story did not look good. But God was able to change that. God was able to change his story. I love the fact that God takes our stories with all their twists and turns, and he gives us a new ending. He wants to give you a new ending to your story today. God wants to take your story, wherever it is at this moment in time, where you're up to, but God has an incredible ending for your life. You know, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me say that again. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're not bound by that narrative of despair. We're promised hope. There is hope for us today. Defeat is not the end of the story. We say often, but the best is still to come. And we sang a song once that said this, "I know how this story ends." And there is an incredible end to us, the story of someone's life who is putting their trust in Jesus, who is following Jesus. We know that that story will end with joy. And that's where you can be heading today. That's restoration. Let me again introduce you to the restorer, to the master craftsman. Jesus, he can repair a broken life. He can fix a broken relationship. He can heal a broken heart. And he says this morning, "Come to me, you who are weary and brokenhearted, and I will give you rest. I will make you beautiful again. I will restore your life. You may have sown with tears, but there is a harvest that's about to come. Something that may have been lost, God is about to return back to you. And I believe it will be returned to you multiplied. It won't look like it looked before. It will look better. It will look better. We're going to sing a song just for a moment together. And why don't we stand together? But I just want you to just open your hearts to God this morning. Just really believe as we sing this song. My prayer is that you've heard something. Something's happened. Something's been said this morning that's really spoken to you. That you've picked up on this promise that God wants to heal you. God wants to restore you. God wants to return you. God wants to repair you. God wants to reinstate you, whatever it might be. But I believe this is a moment as we worship. And I'll come back and pray in a moment. But as we worship, just allow the Holy Spirit to come and bring that healing, bring that restoration. And let's stand together in faith, just believing that God is here. Story.